Great. Well, Dan, why don't you open us in prayer? If we are to love our wife as Christ loved the church, then we will care for her the way Christ cares for his church. And one of those areas is just to meet her material needs. Let's look at some verses. Ray? Ray, if you would look at the slide. And Dan, if you would look at 1 Timothy 5:8. And Shep, you have your Bible with you? If you would do 2 Thessalonians. Okay, when I post these messages that I have with years went, a lot of times it's kind of a lost cause on the CD. So, what you'll do though, translated into Chiche way, something like that. But a lot of people have told me that they enjoy those better because I'll do a sentence and then it'll be translated and they don't have to always be pausing it. You know, because it goes to the much slower pace. So, don't let that deter you. Ephesians 5:28. Yeah, so it doesn't say you have to love your wife more than your body, does it? But they do have to be equal, don't they? And we'll be looking at another example, a number of examples. But one of the things I always tell men, some men, as a part of their job, end up eating lunch at restaurants. It's a part of their job. And so I always ask him, how often does your wife lunch at a restaurant? Some men have to go to conferences where they stay at a conference center. How many times a year does your wife get to do that? Well, you should be taking your wife to make sure that she her life experience is as fun and exciting as you. If your company sends my son's company, send him to a golf lunch thing. Been through this seminar and we talk about this stuff a lot. And I appreciate seeing his wife. So he took his wife to Germany. Now she's been able to fly internationally. 1 Timothy 5:8. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? You really need to take care of your wives, man. And you really need to watch over your finances. I had a friend who was an engineer in one of the community cities around Houston, and he always wanted to have a catfish restaurant. And he would cook catfish. Everybody liked his catfish recipes at family gatherings. They only wanted to have Sanders does on chicken. And company outings. Oh yeah, we can always put this guy at number one and make me doing the catfish. So he decided he was gonna do it, and I told him no. They should do that. I said, now what you do, if you have time on the side, start this catfish business. You take me, you work the two jobs, but you never quit one job till you have another. That's what I always tell the men in my ministry. You never quit one job until you have another. Because you have a responsibility to your wife. But he didn't do it. And again, you know, it's kind of slow. Then he paid up his savings. Then he sold one of his cars. Then there was the kids' college fund. fish restaurant above the needs of his family. And God says he was worse as an unbeliever for doing that. So we don't do that, guys. We don't take our little dream and then we roll the dice on our responsibilities. I had a friend who is an orthopedic surgeon, and I've noticed that the surgical specialties, you know, where they have their conferences, you know, where they keep their license, is always a great centers of higher learning, like Mayo and Las Vegas and New Orleans. So this was at Vegas, and he didn't gamble. But he and his wife went there, and they would have, everywhere you walk in Las Vegas, you walk through the hotel, there's gambling everywhere you go. So they would be going to these conferences on different issues, so he could keep his specialty license. And he said he noticed that there were two kinds of gamblers. One, people were having money and they were gambling, but then there were other guys who had lost everything and were just kind of going around kibitz and giving advice. Why would you take advice from didn't have any money to gamble? But they were giving advice. You know, and I thought, you know, I've got three stacks of chips in my life. Those stacks of chips are called my health, my walk with God, and my marriage and family responsibilities. So that would be job, home, marriage, all of those things. And I don't gamble with those chips. I invest them. And so that's true, guys. You're responsible to provide for your family, and you are not free to gamble, to follow your little pipe dream. You are not free to do that. You get a job, and you work hard, and you don't quit a job till you have another job. That's your responsibility. And I tell you what I told my son. The reason work and fun don't share any of the same consonants or vowels, prefixes or suffixes, is because in the English language they have nothing in common. We just go to work. And we work under the curse of the fall. That's unfruitful, hard, degrading work that wears us down, and we die 20 years before our wives. That's just the way it's going to be. And that's what we do. We're men. We assume that responsibility. We take the hit. We maintain our responsibility. And I tell my son, your worst day at work, your most awful day at work, that day in which you just think you cannot stand it, is 1,000,000% better than sitting in your apartment or your home in your sweats, watching Friends reruns, waiting for the phone to ring with a job offer. So we don't go there unless we're forced to, unless that's a trial God has given us. We don't quit our job unless we have another job. Layoffs are another thing. But we don't do that. Because by not providing for your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. And you don't put your wife to work so you can pursue your ministry or personal work hobby. And I get on to pastors and missionaries about that a lot. You know, they want to be full-time in the ministry, but the finances aren't there, so they put their wife to work. And I say, no, you don't do that. There may be a reason for your wife to work, but it's not because you can't earn some living when you could. So we don't do that. Now, Eleanor did not work out of the home for the first 17 years of our marriage, so she could get all the kids into the fifth grade. But then, by that time, Becca was in the 12th grade, and she went to work. That was a sacrifice that she was willing to make. That was just the fact. Because we were never dependent on ourselves. We never were. So it's not a sin for your wife to work, but someone has to be there for the children. And so I always encourage men, if your wife is going to work, it should never impact your style. And that way, anytime she wants to or needs to, she can stop. she can stop. 2 Timothy 3:10. Who has that? 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Yeah. See? Christian gentlemen are hard workers. And they work very hard. And they do not back in to picking up their paycheck. They work hard. And that's what we are, man. We work hard. And if you're out of a job, I would encourage you to find something to do. Find something to do. There's been a number of times in our lives when my salary scale versus my family size qualified us for free lunches or for government assistance, and we never took it. We just didn't do it. I don't think it's sin to do it. We just didn't do it. That motivated me. Mandate of Scripture. It is a blessing of God. It's not a matter of faith. Any drug addict. It's a universal grace of God. You do not have to have children, but if you do have children, men do your responsibility. And I also feel strongly that if you have children, the wife should stay home till the youngest child is in school all day. Now, once the youngest child is in school all day, there's nothing that says the wife has to stay home and watch TV and get fat while she waits around for something to do. I have no problem with that. But somebody has to watch children. And the fabric of society is unraveling, and it's not just the family, it's the Christian family. It's because of non-resident parents. Here's the illustration. Your son or your daughter wants a bicycle. No, I don't think you're responsible enough for a bicycle. You'll have to take care of it. You kind of get on these little things and they kind of come and go. Plus, you're not really an outdoor person. You know what? Well, I think you really like is an Xbox. You know. Are you happy? No. So here's this married couple. Oh, Jesus, you got to give us a baby. All the ladies in the church have babies. Oh, please, Jesus, you got to give us a baby. And God says, you know, I don't think you guys really want a baby. You really like your career. You really like your mobility. You really like your freedom. I don't think you want a baby. Oh, no, Jesus, everybody has babies. You got to give us a baby. Oh, please. Go to law school. You like your freedom. You like being in church 3 or 4 nights a week. You like just picking up and taking off. You travel with your job and you like to do that. You know, a baby, there's a lot of responsibility. It costs money. It's going to really tie you down. Oh, no, Jesus, I really want to. Here's your baby. You keep that baby for about 6 weeks and then you stick it in a year and go off with your life. And God looks down. A different daycare worker really doesn't care about the education, the socialization, or the love that child receives. Is God happy? My father-in-law said to me, "Do you think I sent my daughter to the one of the premier universities in the U.S. to receive 2 degrees and change diapers?" And I said, "No, no. Wasn't for you, my children would probably just turn out to be average. But because of that sacrifice you made, I have great expectations for my children. So I apologize. I do thank you for that. It's going to make a big difference." That's true, isn't it? So, the fantasy, I mean, daycare centers are like whitewashed tombs. Part of that, her freshman and sophomore year, had to have so many hours of daycare center work. And she worked over Christmas, and she'd say, "You know, these teachers are bringing their kids by for daycare." And I said, "But school's out." She says, "Oh, yeah, no, that's never the issue. And she said, "These daycare centers, you know, very few women lay in bed at night saying, 'You know, I really like to get a master's in daycare and change other women's babies' diapers.'" So if your wife or if a woman finds herself in a situation where she works in daycare, that's not a bad deal in any industry. But most of these women are there because there wasn't a job dipping food at Luby's. And there wasn't a job cleaning up perfume there. And there wasn't a job that only makes, but they could get a job at daycare. And that's not the women you want taking care of your babies. It's not. So, men, you don't have to have children. But if you do, fulfill your personal responsibility. I tell the wives the same thing. So my daughter would tell me every day her stories of what takes place in one of the premier daycare centers in North Houston where she worked. Think of how you dress versus how your wife dresses. You know, does your job require industrial steel toe boots, you know, that are very expensive? Well, does your wife have nice, expensive shoes also? Does your job require certain equipment, either in the office or on the field? Okay. Well, what about your wife's kitchen? What does that look like? Can you compare your wife's appliances? Money on a Christmas tree. like, damn, where are you going? Miami to Los. And I'm saying that's just fine. But if Sharon is always staying home in Helena and Dan's flying on international airlines and being served by stewardesses and staying over in hotels and, you know, living the cosmopolitan life while his wife pines away in Helena, that's wrong. Dan needs to save up and make sure his wife's life experience is just as good as his. Yeah, well, good. He'll be your accountability. Kevin, you're his accountability partner. Ask him what he's going to be doing when his anniversary comes up. Our transportation versus our wife's transportation. If you have two cars, who drives the clunker? Good. Yeah, it should be you. If you have one car, who takes the bus? Stands in the rain? Who drives the car? You see, we are not the weaker vessel, guys. We take the hit. I had a friend named Guillermo who had received Christ. And he said there was a little tension in his home. He was a structural engineer, and they would have these contracts done. There were these giant penalties for finishing late. And they would put these structural engineers, they would put their feet to the fire to get the specs in so they could get these bridges or whatever they were building up so they wouldn't have to pay these penalties. So as time got closer, he might work 12-hour days, you know, because this has to be today. And, of course, it was causing a little friction in his home. So I asked him, well, what time are you coming home? He said, well, I leave for work around 8. I get there around 9. I get home 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. And I said, well, why should your family suffer? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, how do you get into the building? He says, I swipe myself in. And I said, well, do you need a team? He said, no, I spend most of that time in front of the computer. And I said, well, swipe yourself in at 4 in the morning. And be home by 5 for dinner. And you take the hit. And that's what I did in the ministry. I was home every night. But I would have morning Bible studies. I have morning Bible study on the other side of Houston. I have to get up at 4:30 in the morning and get over there and teach the Bible study. And be back. Do my work day. And then be home for dinner. So we take the hit, guys. When I got my master's, and now when I'm getting my doctorate, I set my alarm for 4:30 in the morning. And I get up and get that out of the way, so I'm available for, you know, to be a husband during the day. We take the hit on that. So if you're going to work late, you can also work early. You can be home with your family and fulfill your responsibilities and still get your job done in most cases. And when you can't, a wife will understand that, generally. Just so long as she knows that when you can come home, you are coming home. And when you can be a part of the family, you're not sitting in the front of the computer, bidding on your fantasy league. You're engaged with the children and with your wife in conversational intimacy. And that is very important. That is very important, guys. Because if you don't want to meet your needs, who do you want to? You're getting ready to go to church. She's got a new pair of shoes. She's got a nice dress and a new coat. What are you doing with that? You know that. We were saving that up. We're saving that. That's important. I need a new motor for the boat. And I need a better car. You know, and we're trying to build that luxury cabin out on that piece of property I bought so I can go hunting. You spend that money and that. She said, oh no, darling, that was Brother Hezekiah at church. He was talking to me and he noticed that, you know, my shoes were kind of worn and it's got, the fall rains were coming. It's getting kind of chilly and I had this old coat. And he noticed I really didn't have a nice dress for the Christmas special. So he met me at the mall. Isn't that nice? Because I told him that you needed this money, you know, for the boat and for building the cabin, you know, for your car. And he said he understood. He thought I was such a godly wife, and he said, I have a word from God from you that God is going to bless you today for me. So we just went out and had lunch and went shopping, and it was just great. Isn't he sweet? I'm not sure how sweet he is. And he said, well, what are you putting on? Oh, that's a necklace Brother Hezekiah bought me. Because I told him how you felt that it was poor stewardship to buy a necklace when you could buy a $300 bird gun. I told him about that. And he said, you know, praise God for your godly husband. The Lord has brought me into your life to pull up the slack. So we went out for dinner, and he bought me this nice necklace, because I know you can't take me to dinner. And I was explaining to Brother Hezekiah how, you know, on Monday night you go over to your friends to watch football, and on Tuesday night when you come home from work, a lot of times you stop and hit golf balls. And on Wednesday night you'd like to go over to Hunter's shooting range and sight in your gun. And I told him about that. Cycle, and you just like to go cruising out at night on Tuesday nights. And he understood, so he's been taking me up to dinner instead and buying me things. Isn't that nice how the Lord just, you know. So are you guys happy with that? No. You don't want to do it, and you don't want anybody else to do it. But that's not how it works, guys. That's your responsibility. God's responsibility is to make precious vessels. And in closing, 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, you must be living with your what wives. Now, in a little bit, we're going to go inside. List me 5 ways your children rise up and bless your wife. Have you even thought about it? Is that in the flow chart? List me 7 ways you honor your wife. These are things that have to happen so she receives honor. Now, in terms of football season, in terms of duck season, in terms of deer season, in terms of bow season, in terms of bass season and trout season, in terms of your job, in terms of your retirement, in terms of your workflow chart, you can do all of those things. And so if you can't do it to your wife, for your wife, in the area of blessing and honor, that's wrong. I can. How do my children rise up and bless my wife? Well, one way is my son stands behind his chair, and all the children stand behind their chair until my wife is seated. Now, you don't have to do that, but they do rise up and bless her. And then they can eat. No one eats until my wife eats with me at the dinner table. She's a weaker vessel. I open the car door for her. So you guys treat your wives like your husbands. Treat her like a donkey. I'm with you guys, and we all go out to dinner, and I hold the door for my wife, and you walk through, and the door flies back and slams your wife, just like you're some Muslim. I don't get it, guys. God looks for heaven, gentlemen. He sees all the sons of men. He sees how they're treating his daughters. It behooves you to treat her with respect and honor. May God bless the teaching of his holy word.